Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. You will recall that Nebuchadnezzar, that very powerful, very egotistical, demon-worshipping king that God had raised up to punish his people, had been humbled. Even though he still didn't fully get the picture, he was humbled by losing everything and spending 7 years in insanity, living like an animal. But when he looked up and repented and gave honor to God instead of thinking that everything was about him, God restored him. And he made a widely published declaration that the God who is the Most High God is to be honored and glorified. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, this is the end of chapter 4. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is right and his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. His son followed him as king. His son did not learn from his father's experience, from his father's humiliation, from his father's restoration, from his father's declaration. He just didn't get it. His name was Belshazzar. And in chapter 5, this is God's word. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. The king called out for the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought and said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. "O king, live forever," she said. "Don't be alarmed, don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. This man, Daniel, whom the king called Belshazzar, was found to have a keen mind, knowledge, and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means. So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now, I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written: Many, many, tekel, parson. This is what these words mean. Many. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Perez. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then, at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, a gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy an inspired word.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Here was a man who grew up with all kinds of privilege. He had wealth. He had fame. He was the son of the king. He was a big deal. But he learned nothing. He totally failed to learn from the truth that so humbled his father. His father had been the supreme ruler, and he became like an animal for a period of 7 years. Where was this guy? He was still living like a prince. And then his dad finally got his sanity back and was restored to his position and told everybody, don't be arrogant. We need to recognize that there is a God who rules over all and that what we have comes from him. And his son was like, yeah, whatever. He didn't learn. He refused to learn. And he became king, and he ruled for a while. Decided to use his wealth and position to give a huge party. And there were lots of people there. And they were having a wonderful time getting drunk. After they'd all been drinking for a while, he had an idea. Let's get the goblets that are gold that my dad took from Jerusalem, from the temple of that great God. And my dad put them in the temple of his God. Let's get those goblets and just use them ourselves. Bring those goblets here. I want everybody to have one. So now they're taking the goblets from God's temple in Jerusalem, which had been destroyed, and they're using them for themselves. And they're having a wonderful time. Until all of a sudden, something unexplainable happens. The king can see it. The others can too, but the king is riveted, watching as the fingers of a hand appear near the lampstand and begin to write on the wall. He doesn't recognize the language. And what is that hand? How is that happening? What's going on? The king was terrified. He turned as pale as a white piece of paper. And his knees were knocking together. You read the footnote on that. The suggestion is that in the original language, this may be a way of describing someone who has just soiled himself. That's how scared he was. He was terrified. And he didn't even know what it meant. He just knew this is not good. This is supernatural, and I can't figure it out. So he sent for all the top people in his kingdom who dealt with the supernatural, the sorcerers, the magicians, the enchanters, the people who made a living having contact with the spirit realm, because there is a spirit realm. It's real. But they were useless because they couldn't read it. They could see it. They couldn't read it. None of them. They consulted with each other. No answers. We are living in an age when that is increasingly a widespread problem. When people refuse to accept the truth, the next stage of deterioration is people get to where they don't even know what the truth is anymore. They lose what they had because they didn't use what they had. So they're no help to the king. But his mom, the queen mother, says, son, you look terrible. I know you're scared. Let me just tell you, there is a guy who your father used to count on, and the spirit of the gods lives in him. Now, did she understand good theology? No. The spirit of the gods, she's still describing it the way her husband had described it. They don't just believe in the one true God and know that all the other stuff, not real gods. Spirit beings, yes. Gods, no. But she says the spirit of the gods lives in him. You ought to get him to come and explain it. And it's interesting that rather than calling him by the name that he was assigned by Nebuchadnezzar, she refers to him as Daniel, because that was his name. And it didn't matter what other people called him, he still knew who he was. And by the way, you and I ought to take a lesson from that. What other people say about us does not determine who we are. What other people call you does not give you your identity. God is the one who gives you your identity. And Daniel's name was a reference to God. The L, E-L, in his name was a reference to the God who is God. And this Belshazzar name, which was awfully like Nebuchadnezzar's son, those names were references to a pagan deity, which is no God at all. So the queen mother says, this man Daniel, whom the king, that is your father, called Belshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means. So Daniel was brought in, and Belshazzar says to him, are you the guy? If you are, and if you can tell me what this means, you'll be rewarded tremendously. This is a promise from a man who's about to go off a cliff. Okay? You'll be number three in my kingdom. And Daniel's saying, man, your kingdom is doomed. And he tells him why. He says, you didn't learn anything. You saw what happened to your dad, and instead of learning and saying, I don't want to repeat the mistakes of the previous generation. I don't want to be like that. I want to learn from what they went through, and I want to do it right. I'm going to worship the God who is God. Nope, not this guy. Daniel tells him, this is what happened with your dad. You refused to listen. Therefore, this is what's going to happen. Look at verse 22. You, his son, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. He says, you did not honor God, the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he has sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written. Many, many tekel. Parson. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. It's over. Time's up. That was an ominous message. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Not is bringing it to an end, not will bring it to an end, has brought it to an end. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. That's another way of saying you haven't got what it takes. You don't measure up. You either measure up or you don't. Guess what? When it comes to God's standard, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody measures up. I'm like, well, okay, these people over here, God says, you guys are good. Never sinned, have you? I'm proud of you. No, all of us have fallen short. But some people, like Daniel, and we'll see this as we go on in this book, some people like Daniel, who were very careful to do what God said, still knew that they fell short. Do you know that about yourself? Do you know that you failed to live a perfect life? Well, you know, if we've all failed, what's the big deal? The big deal is that there is one who is perfect. You've heard the expression, well, nobody's perfect. That's not true. You're leaving out the most important figure in the universe, the creator of all things. He is perfect. He is perfect in all his ways. So when we say, well, nobody's perfect, we're saying, you don't matter. Well, no, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant all of us have sinned. Oh, well, okay. Because we have. But that's why we need a Savior, and that's why God provided a Savior. Belshazzar, not interested. You've been weighed and found wanting, God said. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Given by whom? God. Who decides such things? God. If you look at what is happening in our country right now, at the people who are in leadership, and you don't realize that we are under judgment, you're not paying attention. If you look at what is happening to the world economy and international conflict between countries, and the fact that a whole lot of people are facing starvation, and the weather is out of control. If you don't realize we need to pray, you're not paying attention. This guy, having heard, and get this, having heard what Daniel said, apparently still didn't believe it or change his behavior. He didn't repent. Daniel said, keep your rewards for yourself. Give them to somebody else. I don't want it. The king said, put the purple robe on him and give him a gold chain. And buddy, you're now the number three guy in the kingdom. He'd just been told his kingdom is over. But he's not believing it, because that would be stinking thinking. You know, that's negativity. I'm just going to think positive. Okay? And you're going to be number three in the kingdom. How's that? Daniel was not impressed. And before the night was over, Belshazzar was dead. Dead. And then he had to face God. He did not repent. He just tried to act as if everything was fine. And it wasn't. That is the definition of crazy. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain. He was killed. And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. The Medes and the Persians divided the kingdom of Babylon. And Darius the Mede is the next one who's going to rule there. And Daniel is still serving God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.